Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we were talking about the command for pastors to preach the word in season, out of season. Listen as we start this week's study at that point.
The Bible stands.
When he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." He's not saying, as you go along life's way, just gradually quit or just try to slow up and hopefully reach a point where you're not doing this anymore. No, he says, "Wherefore, come out." You do it right now. "Come out from among them to be separate, saith the Lord." So there's a difference between "therefore" and "wherefore." Now, in 2 Timothy, then, we go back. He says, "I charge thee, therefore, because you're a man of God, because you belong to him, I'm telling you, therefore, as you go to rest life's journey, you've got the word of God. You've got the word of God for doctrine." So you've got to preach doctrine for reproof. You need reproof for correction. The word correction there comes from a Greek word that means to set a bone straight and to instruct in righteousness. Righteousness is obedience. And isn't that part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you? And so that is righteousness, when people observe the things that the Bible tells us to do, that God told us to do through his word, the Bible. Now, so he's therefore, because he's got the word of God, and it is something that is to furnish him. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, the same pastor said, "Study this, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, or rightly dividing the word of truth." So when you get here to chapter 4, verse 1, after all of that, he says, "I charge thee, therefore." Who's doing the charging? Is it Paul? No, because every word is God-breathed. And we just read that in verse 16, just two verses earlier. So verse 1 here of chapter 4 is saying, "I charge thee," this is the Holy Spirit of God, "I charge, therefore, before God," that's speaking of the Father, "and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's an interesting, we see the Trinity involved here. Shows us the importance of all three involved in this. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ," now listen, "who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Okay, he's saying, okay, this is a judgment issue. This command is a judgment issue. Now let's listen to the command. He's going to tell us what it is. Preach the word. He doesn't tell them to preach philosophy. He doesn't tell them to preach psychology. He tells them to preach the word. Be instant. That means always ready. In season. Hey, when everybody likes. Out of season, when nobody wants to hear it. So he tells them to be instant. He tells them what to preach. He tells them to be prepared. And then he even tells them how to preach. He says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. And how do you preach it? He said, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. All the reproof, all this stuff here must be undergirded with the Bible, with doctrine. Now, these are God's words. These are God's requirements. And so God is ordering him to preach. He's ordering the preacher to preach the word. Now, why? He says the time will come, okay? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. See, that's going to be the out of season. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear sin named. You know, they say, just preach positive. You know, they'll say a lot of negative things about us fundamentalists. So I want to say, well, if you're so negative about us biblicists, why are you using the word negative? against us. You're so negative on us, we're not even negative against you. We're negative against your stand. We're negative against the sin that you stand up and try to favor. We're, the Bible says in James 4:4, that to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. And when you get with the friendship of the world, that is the world system, the world culture, and you try to incorporate that to your daily living and to your worship and all that, God says you're on the opposite side of him. You are actively opposed to him. Well, now, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, you see, that's their lust, that's their desires, not God's, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they make them feel good about themselves, but also makes them opposed to God. To God, what God said to do in verses 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And often these do this in the last days because they have these feelings, and so the biblicist doctrine, when it's preached, although they may have claimed to be fundamental, they've claimed to be biblicist, the doctrine, when it's preached as it is to men as they are, proves that they're actually moderates. And I've seen that over 40 years of ministry. I've seen people that are actually just moderates. Now, I preached my first sermon in church on the first Sunday of February of 1970. So I've been preaching this for quite a few years now, and this word, and I've found over the years, sometimes people do. They get offended by the word of God, and it shows they weren't biblicists. They were moderates all along. They just thought they were biblicists. So I'm laying all that out for you because we want to know that it is long-suffering in doctrine. Long-suffering. Hey, look, even though they're against him, although they may even persecute him, because chapter 3 of 2 Timothy said, hey, you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. You preach the word of God, my friend, they'll hate you. You'll get enemies. So what does that first verse mean? By a charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing? James 3:1. My brethren, be not many masters, that means teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You might say God is judging the preachers with a finer tooth comb. Since I am charged to preach the word, and since in Acts 6, deacons were formed to serve under the pastor that he might give himself to prayer, as well as to the study and the ministry of the word. Now, it wasn't to tell him what to preach. If you got a mission, if you got a deacon board or any other board in your church trying to tell the preacher what to preach, that either needs to change or you need to find a Bible church, because that's not going to be a Bible church when you got a board that does this. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, sometimes preaching this way, doctrine is hard. So he must do it with long suffering. And he must study the Bible to show himself approving to God and saying, yes, this is the word of God. It's right. So 1 Timothy 5:17 speaks of a pastor being worthy of double honor. Now, you that have pastors that preach and study the word, and when you go in there, you're getting the word. You're not getting a psychology lesson. You're getting the word. You're not getting something he's pulled off the internet with a lot of funny stories. No, you're getting the word. And if you've got a church like that and says that he's worthy of double honor, you know what that means? Double honor means double pay. If everybody in the church averaged on average of, say, $40,000 a year, he ought to be getting $80,000. Now, most pastors wouldn't take it. Most pastors don't do it. But I'm just saying that's what he is teaching there. And this is not a thing to say you need to double your pastor's salary, but it is saying you need to make sure your pastor's taken care of. But it says he's worthy of double honor who labors in the word. So it's not just being a pastor makes him worthy of double honor. It's one who labors in the word. So I will particularly study the word. Not a Christian psychologist. Now, I've read books by good men that are well established in the Word of God, and that's good. But understand, whereas they're writing to shed light on the Word of God, the truth of the matter is the Word of God sheds light on it. And we need to check even those things that we write, that they write, to see if they're so as according to the Word of God. Now, I'm pointing that out to say, look, as a pastor, as a radio preacher here, I've got to give an account to God. As Noah, I've got to fear God. And I must be moved with the fear of God over theories, over mockery, over philosophies of men, over popularity among men. It doesn't matter if people think that guy's crazy. Now, to be quite honest with you, I don't understand why any honest Christian would accept a theory over the Word of God. That's why I don't accept evolution. That's man's creation. Evolution then means that God is a creation of the mind of man. No, I believe in creation. God created man, not vice versa. What I'm saying is that just like Noah, you may be the most persecuted, most laughed at and mocked person in the world, but who walked off the ark? Who walked off the ark? So my accountability is not for what other people write or think. It doesn't matter if I get all kind of bad things said about me in Facebook. By the way, let me just say this. I'm not on Facebook. I know our church has a Facebook. It doesn't allow people to write or to anything on it. We just put on what we want on. A lot of people take our Facebook and broadcast our sermons to their friends with our Facebook. But I don't, me personally, I don't have a Facebook account. The good thing about that is nobody can block me. And I think it's funny because some people think I'm a good, godly person, and I'm not going to allow that Christian to have access to me. So I'm not going to allow them to be a friend. I'm going to unfriend them. So there'll be other people following their Facebook that are drinking, that are may not even be saved. They've got all kinds of problems, but they think they're being godly to unfriend a Christian. Look, you can stand against another Christian's sin, but you unfriended him on Facebook. And again, that doesn't affect me because I'm not on Facebook. But think about what you're doing, Christian, because something like that is not of God. That's just completely 101% carnal, and it does not please God.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.